the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery. The Challenge of Transdisciplinary Science. A production of the 2012 Emerging Interfaces Awards. Episode 4, Optimization.
Hello, I'm Michael Ferris. I'm the leader of the optimization team here at the Wisconsin Institutes of Discovery. I'm still a member of the Computer Sciences Department. So I'm a faculty member there and have appointments also in mathematics and industrial and systems engineering. So optimization, in my viewpoint, is a glue technology. It's a technology that enables us to link together and improve the operation of complex systems. So we like to understand a system at its base level, but also to think about how to abstract a system to derive mathematical abstractions or mathematical models for which we can then apply our stuff on and then do things which improve the operation of that model and particularly improve the interactions between those systems. So optimization is a technique that is a glue technology. To some extent, it takes a bunch of different systems and tries to work out how to optimize the overall application of that system or the overall operation of that system. So it can be used in two contexts. It can be used for strategic planning. So how do we do something in the future? How do we plan, for example, a new transmission line between Eau Claire and Madison? There are lots of optimization problems. There are economic problems. How much do we actually want to pay for this? What does it actually deliver? So there's an optimization problem. There's the issue about location. So who wants the system in their own backyard? Who doesn't? So a facility location and a routing problem. But more generally, what's the economic advantage or what's the physical advantage and what's the purpose of building this extension? A purpose to build that extension would be to remove the possibilities or reduce the possibilities of cascading failures in our electricity grid network, in the grid network of the electricity infrastructure that we have. And that has lots of ramifications in terms of large numbers of people affected by the smooth or non-smooth operation of such a system. Broadly, we look at the planning models of that. So how do you build a system that will actually help a decision maker, be it a politician, be it an engineer, be it a physician or whatever, how do you help that person make a decision that is better than the system he would have made without the mathematical model to support and help making the decision? But if that was all that we would do, just build models to help decisions, I think that's not the core to some extent of what we do. The core of what we do is try to develop a rigorous mathematical sense about how to solve these problems. So these problems in of themselves involve lots of different facets. So we have facets corresponding to discrete or continuous decisions. So a discrete decision might be how many airplanes do we want to run on a particular route? We can't have 0.7538 of an airplane running on a route from Milwaukee to Madison. So you actually have discrete decisions. Other decisions might be how much flow of electricity do we have running upon this particular transmission line? That's not a discrete quantity, but we can actually fix that in continuous space. What we like to do is think about how to model problems appropriately. So there are lots of different types of mathematical models that people can use. And it's that mathematics, the challenge of the mathematics and the challenge of the interaction that you can see on my board here, but also you can see is inherent in the kind of stuff that we do. So mathematical models might be linear programs where the data in this problem can be approximated very nicely by linear models, but some things aren't of that nature. So if you think about power flow systems, or if you think about complex interactions of a weather system or something like that, those interactions don't occur linearly, but there are nonlinear or effects of scale that will change the surface and make a linear model inappropriate. So we look at extending models, which are core models, linear programming problems, to techniques that will involve nonlinear optimization and discrete variables. If the world were deterministic, if we knew exactly when you're planning something, if you knew exactly what your level of return, so if I'm in the stock market and I'm trying to work out what my portfolio holdings for retirement would be. A portfolio is something that lots of people are interested in, maybe for their retirement planning or whatever, for working in the stock market, making money. Then a portfolio optimization problem would involve lots of things like discrete decisions. Can I actually have a certain amount of this stock in my portfolio? Or do I want to have a more broader set of indices? Or do I actually just want to have a yes-no decision that this type of instrument is in my portfolio or not? So all of those features that I talked about before are present within a portfolio optimization problem. But an additional feature of the stock market is its extreme stochasticity. So we're looking at uncertainty, which is manifested either in the tracking of the stock market or in other things. So if you're buying futures on corn or you're buying futures on gold or something, it's not just the stock market, but it's other effects like weather or something will actually affect the futures price of corn or something like that. It could also be that new technologies come into the fore. So if we talk about biofuels and things like that, that can affect the price of corn futures and therefore affect your portfolio. So what we look at is models that aren't just deterministic. They don't just take a mean value piece of information, the average value of the stock market, because it's all of those variations that we need to think about and we need to exploit those variations and maybe guard against the problems that can occur because of uncertainties in the data of a model. What we like to model are things that we can model effectively because those models are science-based. What we find, what I find hard to do, is modeling on top of that the human behavior. So we actually have a system which is very complex from a scientific base, but on top of that, we actually have agents who are interacting on top of that, making decisions. And some of those agents might collude. So some people make decisions which are not rational, and some people might actually just be spoilers within a system. And that is hard to model. And so the types of the research that we're trying to do is to build a conservation game on top of the simulation. So you have a simulation of the science, and on top of that, to model the behavior, we're going to use real people. And so this Trails Forward game, which is a collaboration with the IRIA group here at the Wisconsin Institutes of Discovery, is an interaction between a science-based simulation and human behavior. And the purposes of this is for us to study how people form allegiances and alliances or collaborations, or how their behavior is then influenced by the environment and a complex environment, and how they interact not collaboratively but competitively, because the world as a whole is not always a collaborative environment, but people have strategies that are developed based upon the interactions which they have in the real world and their end goals, which might not be all the same. These kind of models are not the same as SimCity. So SimCity, a person could go in and build the best possible city or environment with his or her own goals in mind. What we have is a non-collaborative environment, which is based upon a better view, we believe, of the science and the simulation of the science, and interacting much more generally with people who are making decisions in a competitive, real-world nature rather than playing God. Trails Forward is a computer game. It's actually a rounds-based game, so much more like a fantasy football-type games, where we would have lots of different people interacting within this game, but they would make decisions based upon their view of the world during the day. So people could actually see an output, which is a visual computer-rendered output, which has all this fancy, nice graphics that people downstairs are very good at generating. But it has this graphics which then give a view of the world. then people make decisions based upon their view of their world and their objectives. And then overnight, we then run the simulation forward. So this is actually the game going forward, the round or ticks of the world going by. We then make a decision, and then we generate some output, which will then enable the group of people, be it college students, be it high school students, or be it people from the Division of Natural Resources who are trying to make policy decisions along with politicians, that they can see the effects of the interacting agents and see that while they might have a goal, it might be better to achieve their goal by following a different strategy. Maybe a system optimal strategy as opposed to an individually rational or strategy that they might think is good, but it doesn't lead the game to an overall good place. So mathematical modeling involves a bunch of different pieces, a bunch of different techniques. So in the wider applied mathematics community, there are models which are much more optimization or top-down models. So models which build a small bunch of nimble models that can answer quick questions very effectively by interacting with maybe aggregated data coming from other sources that actually educate that model but are nimble at answering particular questions. So we'd like to build horses for courses, that the particular model that actually addresses the issue at hand and addresses the issue at hand in the appropriate level of detail. However, that detail, so if I'm thinking of a transmission line which I'm building, that transmission line will take 10 years to build. It will have to go through numerous issues about politics and not in my backyard, various other issues about where do we site it, costing issues, does Congress change or does the local government change the rules about this? So there's a long, complicated process. What's it trying to do though? So we're trying to build something at a 10-year time horizon. What's it trying to address? Those things which I talked about a minute ago, cascading failures. Those cascading failures occur at a second or maybe even a microsecond level. And so you have different levels of scale of the problem, and you actually want to build a model that essentially can address questions on the 10-year horizon, but is at least educated by events that occur on a second or a microsecond level. We do not conform to the let's build a monster model perspective of the world, but we actually try to think about building models that think about levels of interaction and abstraction and allow us to build collections of models that are interface across different timescales. Mathematically, this means that the problems that we solve are more tractable. They're of the size and level that we can actually solve. We can solve problems in certain domains of millions or several thousands of millions. But in other problems, we have difficulty solving problems with 23 variables because the interaction is much more complex. So size isn't the only thing. The complexity of the system also manages to make the problems easier and more difficult. Okay, so there are two other maybe more general purpose projects that we actually have. One of them is called NEOS, which is a web-based educational or educational outreach tool. NEOS stands for Network Enabled Optimization Software, or Network Enabled Optimization System. You know how everybody generates the acronym and then works out what to put in the acronym. And this is a bunch of solvers which actually show what we do. They range from commercial solvers to solvers that various colleagues across the world are generating to solve different types of these models that I've alluded to earlier on. So if people would like to try these things out, they could go to www.neos-guide.org. It's a website which will actually enable them to see more detail about what we do, but also give them a portal into lots of try out and see so that you can try different optimization techniques. There are a bunch of case studies that describe how we solve Sudoku puzzles, how we would use this for doing air ambulance lifting problems, how we do various other problems in optimization, or how other problems would be cast as optimization problems so that we can actually solve the problems strutting our mathematical stuff. This year, we've had 102,000 1,000 submissions. So this is 102,000 different people who have used this to solve their optimization problem. And I think they like it because A, it's free. It uses some of the other systems, the resources from the Center for High Throughput Computing to actually solve their models. It's a free resource, and it also works. It works without everybody having to generate their systems themselves. Scheduling is our bread and butter, one of the things that we do very well as problems that arise from data analysis. So people are using new tools for looking at trying to find out, determine when within the Ice Cube, a project within physics, whether they're actually observing neutrinos or not. And so those, from our perspective, that's a large-scale data mining project, and we have some new ideas about how to use optimization-based techniques and database computer science techniques to actually improve our ability to make predictions that this was a neutrino or not. I think that we are only just beginning to start the exploration of new and exciting domains of applicability of the techniques that we can use and the techniques that we can bring to bear. And we have assembled within this institute a bunch of really clever people. And working with really clever people, I think, and people who are, by their very nature, problem solvers at heart, is really the promise for the future. And I think that there are huge scientific or social problems that I think people will only address these problems effectively by incorporating the huge amounts of new data that are coming in, along with our increased capability to compute and process those. And I think optimization is a critical technology that helps us, first of all, predict, and second of all, operate, and third of all, strategically design new systems that will actually exploit that and improve the well-being of, you know, it's a bit of a stretch to say the well-being of the whole of society, but I think we can have a great impact on lots of problems that are thwarting society right now and show people how mathematics, computation, and statistics can all help to actually solve tomorrow's problems today.
This recording was produced by Chris Bocast for the 2012 Emerging Interfaces Awards, sponsored by the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery.